Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
So that was last year, the end of October 2015, the University of Miami eight legal lateral passes backwards, and they actually beat Duke, and that's just what happened. But it could never be done. I don't know if you heard it. They said they practiced it the week before. That could never have been done outside of a team approach. And when it comes to whether it's the Army or the Navy or a mansion, a classroom or a business or at least the church, you have to do it together. We're better together. And if you want to have success and you want to win, you have to do it together. So we're on this three-week series talking about unity and what God has for us as a church. We're very excited. We believe that God's not done with us, but he has things for us to do, and you may be a part of that. You're sitting here, and we're just believing. I know it's a holiday weekend, but we're just believing God for great things come this fall. We say this, it's the new year, because a lot of people say new year come January, but not if you have kids. Not if you're kind of gearing back up. You have the summertime, and everyone kind of gets refocused, and we start school, and we move forward. Now, I didn't do the calendar, but the 15th, next week, is the 15th year anniversary of 9/11. So we're going to pause for this sermon series, and we're going to honor first responders. We have the Eastham Township Fire and Police. We have police cars and fire cars. I'm excited. I'm going to have someone else preach. I'm going to be out there on the fire truck and some ambulances. And we've invited key people to come. We're going to honor them with gifts. We have people in our congregation that work with EMT, fire, and policemen. By the way, if anyone gets out of control, we actually have undercover cops in here. I don't know if you know that. We do. We have people have concealed weapons, so don't start anything, all right? And if that doesn't work, I've got two guns right here, right here, right here, right here. So next week. So if you know people and fire, police, invite them. It's a very honoring day. You know, there's a lot of tension with fire and policemen, all these different things happening, but this is a great way. We can't ignore 9/11, and so we have some great video and special teaching on that day. So this is our text. This was last week, kind of the overarching text, talking about the first church and how a spirit-filled church looks. And notice how many times they use the word they or all or everyone, this idea of being better together, how God created the first church in the book of Acts, the spirit-filled church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Let me just read that again. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their own homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, if you remember last week, the definition, the Greek definition of the word church is called ekklesia. And it's not a church word. It's actually gathering. It would be any civic gathering, just people gathering together. But it would be this idea that people would gather together in Jesus' name, empowered by the Spirit, for what he would have for the people to do. And the first church was very informal. They met in homes. The preachers didn't kind of get up. They kind of sat amongst the people, and they were called love feasts. And during that time, there's persecution. It wasn't this ornate church buildings. Something actually changed when Constantine, in 333 A.D., he gave his heart to the Lord, and he made Christianity popular. And something else happened. They started building church buildings called basilicas. I went to Italy a couple years ago, and in Rome, there's all these beautiful, ornate buildings. But in the beginning, it wasn't about the building. It was actually about the people, about the Spirit of God working inside of people. So I ask myself sometimes, like, how are we doing as a people? Not the building, a people. So here's a couple questions we could ask ourselves. Are we moving or are we simply meeting? Are we making a measurable difference in our local communities or simply conducting services? And are we organized around a mission? Are we moving forward? And by the way, to the best of my ability, we're not just a building, we're a people empowered by God moving forward. That's our goal. But you know what? I don't know if some of you own your own business or you have responsibilities for other people, but I'm the pastor of the church, you know, it's kind of called quality control or whatever. And I usually don't call in the church because I'm here. I'm in the building. I communicate with people. But last month, I was out and about, and I just had to call in for something because the person I was trying to talk to, they couldn't get cell phone reception. So I called the church office, and I said, let me just disguise my voice. Let's see how we're doing. Let's see who picks up the phone. And by the way, it wasn't Jeannie. She's my administrative assistant, does wonderful. She's going to sit next to Jesus in heaven. She's very kind to everybody. And let me just say that, yeah, you can give Jeannie a clap. All of our workers are great. They're trained. They do a wonderful heart. But I said, let me just disguise my voice to see quality control in our church. So they picked up the phone, Marlton Assembly of God, and I just disguised my voice like this. Hey, how you doing? And I just kind of jumped to, I said, I want to get married at the church. Can I get married at the church? I don't know why. I wasn't even planning it. I just did it. I wasn't led by the Lord. I was led by something. I don't know. And it just kind of came to me. I go, I want to get married in the church. I have a problem, though. And the lady was really being nice. Really, I have no arms. If you're here today, you have no arms. Listen, we love you with all. And then the lady goes, yeah, no problem. We'd love to have you. You know, come on in. We have some paperwork. And I said, I have no arms. I have no legs. And the wonderful lady answered, that's wonderful. We love people with no arms, no legs. And I'm like, what do you want me just to roll on in here or what, you know? And I kind of just kept going, and the dear lady, I have no arms, I have no legs. I'm getting like mad. I have no arms, I have no legs, I have no ears. We love people that have no arms, no legs. I'm like, I just wanted to know how we were doing. She handled it. She does not have the gift of discernment, but she handled it really, really well. I think we have to ask ourselves, not so much in a political way or in the times of Constantine who legalized Christianity. And this is the time when they legalized this, where incense came, ornate robes came, and people became spectators of what was happening on the platform. If you actually look at modern Christianity today, there's a lot of celebrity. There's a lot of people on the platform. That was never the way it was intended to be. It was supposed to be a people belonging to God who had the praises and the word of God in their heart to do what God's called them to do. And in some ways, we're trying to keep getting back to how God intended it in the book of Acts, that we would be this people of ecclesia. Now, Pastor Liz kind of mentioned it before. She said, hey, we're starting small groups, and we have 3 weeks to sign up. You can go on your phone or your iPhone or iPad or whatever you want to do, or you could sign up here. There's different ways to do that. Now, I have to tell you something. I grew up in ecclesia. My dad was a pastor, and how I grew up, we went to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night. We had Sunday night church. I didn't really like it. Sat in the front row, oh, my dad preaching, like, yeah, well. But I did like the ecclesia. After church, every Sunday night, we would go to the diner. Do you remember when the diners used to be cheap? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about now? Yeah. Right? We used to be, I remember this. It was every Sunday night, we get a bagel and cream cheese for 99 cents. And that's what we were allowed to order. We didn't even ask. We just got bagel. And they used to give you a lot of cream cheese. A lot of it. It was good. That's what we did. I remember my parents, they would invite people to come, just a bunch of different people, our friends, the adults would sit there, we would do it over there, and we put all this different stuff in the water, ketchup and all that. The waitresses hated us, but that's what we did. And so it was organic, if you will. It was just kind of like how it was, and a lot of you have those relationships now. you kind of almost don't even need somebody to tell you to get into a small group. You have a small group. You go out to Chick-fil-A. You have relationships. You have all this different. But I just want you to see something in our church. Many people in our church who are coming, checking us out, they don't have those relationships yet. And there's a lot of new people, praise the Lord. Even on a holiday weekend, we have a good attendance. We're looking to say, God, how is it going to look come October, November? Do we have to go to 3 services? What does God want us to do? We don't even know. We're just going to say, the Lord will show us. But there's this sense that people gather together in groups in the Bible to encourage and to bless and to lift up one another. And that's the reason why we have small groups. That's the reason why we're wearing these shirts. It's not because we work at the Outback or Circus City. It's because we recognize key people who will help discussion, open up their homes, have food, talk about the sermon, and group up together, because here I'm just preaching to you. Statistically, you'll lose 70% of what I say before we get out of here. And I think in an hour or two, you'll lose like 90%. Some of you are checked out right now. You haven't even gotten anything. But what happens, you get together in a group, you talk about the sermon, what God taught. It's amazing in those conversations, that life happening together, how much you could take like a sermon and digest it, encourage one another and bless one another. And this is a wonderful time as we come around this new year for you to join a small group and almost intentionally have this ecclesia. Now listen, I'm the pastor. It'd be easy for me to go home and just watch a football game. I need to be in fellowship. And here's the other thing. People in my group need me to be there. There's no one like two above. Listen, I don't really necessarily have to be in one, but I choose to be in a group to support and be a blessing to somebody else where I can. So I want to encourage all of you to look at the, check out the menu, 2 all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, onions, pickles on a sesame seed bun. Sign up, pray about it, think about it. How can I serve? How can I be a blessing? You say, well, I don't like anybody. Well, maybe God's teaching you to love people. This is not about being popular. Hey, you know what? Say, Lord, I'm going to go. I'm going to eat food. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be a blessing. I'll give someone. It'll help you as we move forward. It's part of the dynamic of being together. There's a second dynamic, and it's coming on September 14th. It's called our United Prayer Service. And so this is our time where our young people, Royal Rangers and Girls Impact, our Girls Ministry will meet in a variety of different rooms. But our young people, our teenagers, our youth, we'll meet together with the adults for United Prayer Service. This is our most important service of the week, where the church gathers together and pray and call on the name of the Lord. And we need to pray like never before. Now, in the Bible, they prayed all the time. You know what Americans do? We pray never. We don't believe that prayer moves the hand of God. We don't really believe it. If we believed it, we'd do more of it. I want to tell you, the pastors and the staff, we pray. We pray, and matter of fact, we're calling the church to fast. That means you can only drink up until service time on the 14th. We're calling a church an all-church fast. All right, and then we'll break our fast with communion. And we're going to believe God for this new year, for our children, for our community, for our church, that God will move powerfully by His Holy Spirit. Now, here's the deal. You can't say, okay, well, I'm just going to take a roast beef sandwich and put it in the blender, and that's what I'm going to drink. We're not talking about that. Just generally water, maybe Gatorade. If you have any medical problems, talk to your doctor. But we believe that when we fast and pray, it moves God's hand powerfully, and that's where miracles come from. You say, well, John, I just pray by myself. I pray at home. I've heard this. You want the anointing on God? You want the anointing of God on your life, in your ministry? Pray by yourself. You have to pray by yourself. But if you want the power of God in a group, you have to pray together. The church that prays together stays together. And I just, this is a dynamic about us being together. Some people have this idea, I only go to church on Sunday, like a check-off. You get your whatever you wear and you check it off. There is this idea that together, God moves by His Holy Spirit. How many believe that God can actually move on a different day of the week than a Sunday morning? I find this, that the Sunday morning is a formality in that we have to minister to a variety of different people. I can't get everything done on a Sunday morning. We need to mobilize our young people. We need to have missionaries that gives other people opportunity to speak, other people to do things in the service. And I'm just telling you right now, having more of God in our life is actually a good thing. And you just have to organize, prioritize. So listen, here's how it is. Most people are middle to upper class around here. You say, well, John, I have to work late. But most people can control their own schedule. I'm just telling you, you talk to your boss. I'm not saying everybody, but you could do what you want to do. And so what I do, I make it a priority. Hey, this is what we do. Sundays and Wednesdays is what we do. The key thing is we're better together. And God will help us to move forward in Jesus' name. Amen? That's what it is. You say, John, I really struggle sometimes. Well, you know what you could do? You come to church, and you can get your faith encouraged by other people. Remember Jesus with the invalid? There was a guy who was, he was broken down with four friends because of their faith. They took the guy on top of the roof, cut a hole in the roof, and dropped him down to Jesus. Sometimes you can feed off other people's faith about when they see him worshiping and praising God. Listen, I want to encourage you to come on Wednesdays, get involved in a small group, and we're better together. It's about relationships. So here's the first point. God is our example in relationship. Who he is, his nature and his character. Did you see in the news this past week, one of the Rutgers University, one of the professors said something about God and who God is of the Bible and who his followers are. She's getting herself in some hot water. But the Bible says this about, in the book of Genesis, about who God is and his nature. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God the Father. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Two people of the Trinity, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. In the Gospel of John, it tells us that Jesus was there. In the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus is the Word. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning when he created the world. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. You say, who was that creation? I thought it was just God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And by the way, I told my daughter she could date three people in college. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those three guys are open. That's just how it goes. We don't believe in three different gods. Love the Lord your God. Our God is one. We believe in one God. Notice this. But three distinct persons. This is important to your theology. Who do you say God is? How is God? Like, who can you talk to? God the Father, God is... It's in the Bible. Listen, I can't explain it. It's unexplainable. God is an awesome God. We can't... But it's true. Three persons, all working together, co-eternal, co-existent. Is that your God? See, some people have this idea like God's up there. Maybe he's getting really up there in age. And he's got like these glasses, and they're really thick glasses. He's disheveled, and his glasses are like looking over. It's got like a big switchboard. Like in Asia, there's all these prayers that are going up, right? And in America, there's all these, in Europe, all this stuff. And God's up there like, oh! And then you know what we do? I'm not going to bother God with my little small things. You know, he's got to like run the world and all the animals and the trees and stuff. I'm not going to bother him. You know, the Bible says pray about everything. God is not like that with a big switchboard and he's trying to answer the prayers and help out people. And say, oh, I miss those people. And in your whole theology, God is not. God is spirit. God is real. God is not limited. He is co-eternal, co-existent. He's a good God, but he's in relationship, and he is a person, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. That's how our God is, and he is a God of relationship. Notice this in Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, notice this, it's plural. Let us make mankind in our own image, in our own likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock, and all the wild animals and all the creatures that move along the ground. Do you see that? Who's God talking to? He's talking to himself. God the Father is talking to the Son. The Son is talking to the Spirit. Working together in unity. There, the Trinity, the Godhead, is better together. I feel so comfortable talking to you about small groups, not because we have this little plan, we all wear these red shirts. I feel comfortable talking to you because who God is. God is a God of relationship. He's at peace with himself. He's unified. He's wonderful. He brings healing and help and saves, and he's a good God. Now, the opposite is true of Satan. What does Satan want to do? He wants to pull apart. He's the father of all lies. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. God wants to help you and heal you and bless you. Satan is coming to destroy your life and take you out. That's what he wants to do. And that's what he wants to do with people's lives. So number two, God wants us to be in healthy relationship with one another. Not only is God a God of relationship, but he wants us to be in relationship. Here's the most intimate relationship on earth. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Then God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." This is how God created it. Don't start in 2016. You'll get confused. Don't go by the Supreme Court. Don't do that. Start way back how God created it. God had a man, he breathed into his life, a living being. But no animal could satisfy the man. So he created a woman. God has intended a man and woman to be together. And they would... I like you. That's how he... You say, why? Why would every man in the room potentially be a candidate for a woman? Here's the reason why. To help. That you would go through life in relationship and you could help one another. You say, that is a very important part. Well, we're now here in 2016. God has created this ecclesia. He's created a church. Why does he have a church? I'm going to tell you why. To encourage one another. This is what the book of Hebrews says. Do not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. So, like, for example, take God's word. Some of you, your attendance is so sporadic, you miss out on something God wants to do in your life. In America, we are weak. We should ask God to forgive us across the board. Lord, forgive us for our attendance. Faithfulness now in America is every other week. I know I'm preaching to the choir today because you guys are here on Labor Day weekend. I'm not trying to beat you up. But the Bible says, listen, if you get married, potentially you have a great opportunity to help each other. If you're pretty part of the church, the Lord's church, don't give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Why the church? So there's encouragement. Encouragement. But most people, you know what happens? When things don't go their way, you know what they do? They stop going to church. They say, why is this happening to me? I can't believe it. I'm like going like Job. I can't believe it. Where's God in my life? All this stuff, all this theology. And they're over here, and Satan loves it when you do this. He loves to come, and he has a baseball bat, and he just keeps beating you up. He makes you feel bad. He starts bringing up your past sins. You ever notice that? Right? Jesus forgave him. He's making you feel terrible, down, discouraged, and all this stuff. But what does God's people do? Come to church and you will be encouraged. My wife and I went to visit Nelda Dorr yesterday. Nelda's in her early 90s and she had a couple falls at power back on Route 73 and now in the Morristown Care One. Nice facility, really nice facility. They had chickens and horses out back. I'm like, wow, this is pretty nice. But Nelda's not doing well. Her son was going back that day to Las Vegas and he's almost on top of her saying, Mom, I love you, almost with this idea that this may be the last time he's saying goodbye. So we gave him a little space. We wanted to encourage Nelda. Nelda is not doing well, like physically. And her voice was so faint. I actually said, Nelda, don't worry about talking. I know it was hurting her to talk. But she squeaked it out. You know what she said? I miss the church. Right? I miss the church. You know, I pastored another church before this one up in Newark. You say, what do you miss most? I don't miss the basilica. I don't miss the building. I don't miss the parking lot. I don't miss the church offices. I miss the people. When Jermel kind of comes around, it's like we just picked up from the last time that's who I miss. Nelda, I don't think she was talking about the lights and the parking lot. She missed you. She missed being in God's presence. She missed being together, hearing God's people pray and call on his name. And then something happens when it's real, when it starts really working, this ecclesia, this dynamic of his spirit together. God really puts this song on our heart. He begins to bless us. Look at 1 Peter 2, verse 9 through 10. This is how you can live joyfully on earth. But you are a chosen people. How many of you are glad that God chose you? And by the way, no one chooses God. He chooses us. I'm so grateful. Where would we be if it wasn't for the Lord's grace in our life? Not here. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Notice this. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people. You're a people. It's not a building. It's not a basilica. You're people. I'm your people. You're my people. We're people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And I talked to you about this last week. There's a dynamic that God does. He begins to put a song in your heart and a praise on your lips. And God's given us something to worship and praise. Even if Donald or Hillary get in, it doesn't matter what our praise is. We're going to be worshiping and praising the rest of our life. It has nothing to do with that. We're the people of the living God. I know. Like the sound system went out, and you guys had to recover it, but I was glad to be worshiping the Lord. Amen? This morning. And to see Asia's shoes today, that was impressive. I was like, I got to get me some of those, man. I got to get me some of those shoes. That was like, wow, I never seen them. Like the guy at the shoe store, like, you get fired, man. You got to shave those down at the bottom. Like, that guy doesn't work there anymore. And I told you, I really just believe that God's not done with us. He's putting a praise on our lips. Now, I have to just tell you something. Got a phone call. Can we put the Wototo Choir up on there? Not the video, just the picture, if we could. So they were scheduled, if you have it in your head, they were scheduled for Wednesday, September 28th. And we got a phone call late Friday, I think, email, whatever. They said, we're having a problem with our visas. I said, I know exactly like that. I am maxed out on my Visa, my MasterCard. I know exactly where. No, their visas to get into the country. And they said, can we push it back to Wednesday, October 19th? So if you've already registered to have a child in your house, we'll get with you. But if it's okay with you, we're going to have them in a month later. Is that okay? I think 3 weeks later. Matter of fact, if you missed it, you need to see it. I've taught these children to dance off of like Facebook, Snapchat. But watch it really quickly. Watch this really quickly. They're coming to our church again. This would be great to invite somebody. Got the idea, right? You know, with social media, it's amazing. You put something like that up on this, like Facebook or whatever, it grabs people's attention. You know, we have one Jewish temple in Marlton, Evesham, Rabbi Gans. I'm friendly with him. I put that up there. Out of everything we do as a church, you know what grabbed his attention? Was that he was, what was that? He was so interested in that. Let me just explain what I feel like God's saying to us. He is expanding our worship and praise. He's expanding the people who will be coming into a church like Marlton. He is opening up culture and skin and culture and variety of dynamic of what God would have. And oftentimes that's expressed through music. It's just kind of how it is. And when God's people be, one of the dynamics about the early church was praise and worship and joy in their hearts and a variety of different people. So that's on October 9th, 19th. There's a second dynamic that was just asked of us, and obviously we took it, but Paul Baloche and the Paul Baloche band or whatever. You say, I don't know him. I guarantee you know his songs. A lot of the songs we sing in Christian circles is actually Paul Baloche wrote them. And so he asked, he goes, we're looking for a safe, healthy church just to have a night of worship. He's from Maple Shade. He doesn't live around here, but he's coming back. I don't know. He's doing a worship conference, I think actually in Pennsylvania. He goes, so Sunday night, we want to do something for local people. Can you just host it? Well, he said, we'll take care of it. We'll sell some tickets here, but you can go on his website and buy it. We're just opening up our facility, I guess turning on the lights and stuff like that. So $10. But here, it's not even the money. But Paul Baloche is a high-level Christian presenter. Well, Toto Choir is a high-level. I got a phone call out of the blue. Remember John Pertigan, the muscle guy? Remember the guy? I've helped. Steroids work with him. Anyway, he goes, I just happened to be in the neighborhood. I said, hey, can you come? I'm going to tell you, God begins to do something wonderful in our hearts when the Spirit of the living God happens. I want to tell you, and that happens just through our relationship, one with another, the praise and the worship belonging to God. Amen? And finally, this is how it goes. God has the remedy for relationships that are broken. God is the God of relationship, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He always has a people to do his work, to declare the gospel in a dark world. He had the Jewish people, and now we have been engrafted in. It's the church is the greatest expression of the gospel. Third, God has the antidote, the solution for broken people. You might look at me and say, John, you know what? That's your wife. Your kids seem to be doing good. You have no problems. I'm just going to tell you, Pastor John is not a perfect person. I told you this before. I was born on April Fool's Day. I was born with so many problems on day one. My wife and I, we do not have a white picket fence around our house. We do not have perfect family. Waffles and Hershey, our dogs, are absolutely nuts. We got them heavily medicated now, so everything's good. Our pastors and our deacons, nobody's perfect. And I want you to know, if you come to this church, whether it's today or tomorrow or the next day, if your family is hurting or broken or there's things not as they should be, I want you to know that you are welcome here. There you go. I owe that guy like $20 after church. Thanks a lot. I want you to know there is a solution to brokenness in people's lives. It's not found in me. It is found in this promise that God has had all the way through the Bible. In the book of Genesis, this is where brokenness, this is where everything broke in Genesis chapter 3. This is what happened. Our problems are not the school system. They're not with Hillary or the Republicans or the Democrats. It's not the race war. That's not the problem. It starts in the heart. The serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the tree that is in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it. Here it is. Or you will die. There was actually a grace at the moment because they ate of it. But they didn't die right away. But at that moment, that's where death and brokenness and sickness all started. But God always has a remedy. And the first remedy started with himself. Genesis chapter 3 verse 21 says this. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Time out. Do you remember Adam and Eve were naked in the garden? And there was no sacrifice. There was no death. So where did God get the garment? This is the first picture of what happened would be with Jesus. It's a type. The Lord God killed an animal. is the first murder, the first sacrifice. God killed an animal and clothed them with garments of skin from an animal. Do you remember the first thing Adam and Eve, remember they were, it was like a nudist colony. You remember that? They were walking around. There's no shame. They didn't know. There was nothing wrong. We can't even think about human sexuality without being dirty or ooh. God has made human sexuality be a beautiful thing between a husband and wife so people could trust and have this intimacy. Once you start taking it out of there, it goes crazy. So that's what happened. It was pure. It was clean. They were trusting one another. They were helping one another. They ate of the garden, and they recognized that they were naked, and they had shame. And you can almost picture themselves putting leaves and covering each other, and then they turn on one another. Remember, he blames her, the woman you put me in here with. And then she goes, no, him. They started fighting, and now they're hiding. Here's the good news. God always takes the initiation. He always moves forward. Remember, it says, like, Adam, where are you? God knows where we're at. He's not dumb, remember? Adam! Where are you, Adam? Has ever happened to you where you sin and you're all embarrassed and you're shamed? You may, like, I shouldn't have done that. I knew better. Does anyone ever sin? Like, sometimes I do. Does anyone ever sin? You know what God does? John! I love you! You can put your name in there, right? Isaiah, you have a birthday coming up. Thursday or Wednesday? Saturday. I got it close. Love you, brother. Isaiah! Isaiah! I love you, Isaiah. I know you messed up. Isaiah! And all of a sudden, he comes and presents them with skin to cover their shame. There's a sacrifice. And if you read the Bible, there's this idea that blood is part of the sacrifice. It would lead all the way to Jesus. But hundreds of years, I think 400 years before Jesus Christ came, the Son of God, Isaiah the prophet would speak like this about this man who would come, this Messiah, this hope for the world. He says, surely he took up our pain and bore our sufferings. There are people in this room, you hurt, you're broken. I wish everybody, just for a day, you could swing around and sit in my seat. Families battling, marriages on the rocks, kids rebelling, brokenness, and things could be so much better. People are just, but the Bible says there's an antidote. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was on him. And notice this, and by his wounds we are healed. So you say, John, I understand God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. He's in relationship. I understand that we should be in relationship. We should be healthy. But the bottom line is I'm here today and I'm a broken person. My family is not where it needs to be. There's not things right. My marriage isn't right. We've fallen out of love. My kids are over here. John, is there any hope for us? And I'm here to tell you, absolutely there's hope. You could even lose hope, but I'm just going to tell you this. I'm hopeful for you, and here's the reason why. Because we're in a new year, and God does things new. He's always creating. He's always making things new. You remember the story in the Gospel of John chapter 5? There's a story of Jesus, and he walks up to a man. There's a pool, Bethesda, colonnades, there's these covered colonnades, and there was this idea that once a year, the water would be stirred. Some believed that maybe it was like an angel would come and stir. And whoever jumped in first got to be healed. And Jesus came up. This is an incredible story. He comes up to an invalid for 30. He was 38 years old. The Bible is very clear. Remember, they put out the lame, the blind, and the paralyzed. They laid them all out on a mat. So as soon as they saw the water, I'm guessing they're trying to throw themselves in like this hope. This magic water. We have this today. You know that, right? You watch TV preachers. You give them 10 grand, and they give you some water from Jerusalem. I'm telling you right now, don't give them any money. Don't give them money. That's from his faucet. But people are so desperate. They're so desperate to look for healing. They'll give it to the preacher. They'll give it to whatever. And Jesus says these magic words. Not magic. He says these words. He says, do you want to be healed? He goes, there's no one to help me get into the water. I mean, how long do you have to think that you're not going to get healed? I think at some point 38 years is a long time to be an invalid. But all of a sudden, through the corner of his eye, there comes this man from Jericho, this man who had no visible look of anything very presentable, just a Jewish young man. And then he goes, I'll heal you. And he healed him on the Sabbath. Remember, he says, take up your mat and walk. And he healed him. I want to tell you today, if you are broken in body or there's areas of your life that are broken physically, I want to tell you that Jesus can heal you. He is the Savior, but he's also the healer. But he also, after that happened, later in the day, this is what Jesus said to him. This is the dynamic of what he said. He says, stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. The greatest miracle is a miracle of forgiveness. And you sit here today, say, John, I used to be broken. Jesus came into my life. He forgave me of my sins, and he's healing me. But around me, my network, there's still people that are broken. There's still families. There's still things that aren't right. Can the Lord heal my brokenness? I'm here to tell you, absolutely, he can heal your brokenness. But he might not just want to get you on your feet so you get more finances. He might not just want to heal your physical body. What God really wants you to do is stop sinning and allow him to heal the inside of your life. Some of us are looking for a quick fix. We love it. Americans love it. I have to confess, I had a Big Mac attack this week. Once or twice a year, it is like, I gotta go. I can't even stop myself. The one in Marlton, they have like two drive-through lanes, and they go quick there, boy. I was like, man, sometimes we think, wow, if I just go through the drive-through of God's grace, everything's going to be all right. I'm here to tell you, it's not always that way. I'm just telling you, sometimes God wants to do something where you don't even see on the inside, and it has to do with forgiveness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The key word is all. How many are grateful that God can, all of ours. Some of us are taught that like, you kind of handle these sins, but then you got to give some money for these sins. And these are the big sins over here. The Bible says he will forgive us of all sins, all unrighteousness, and make us whole. Forgiveness. The Lord wants to forgive you. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. Now there's another side to the coin, forgiving other people. You say, what do you mean? For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So John, there's people I don't like. You need to really process that and say, Lord Jesus, there's people around me that do bad stuff, that hurt me, that have hurt me. But Lord, in my world, would you teach me to walk in forgiveness and be forgiven and then forgive other people? Nobody wins when you're just throwing stuff. I see people throwing stuff on Facebook. I see people throwing stuff in life. They're so angry. They're frustrated. Something happens when you invite forgiveness into your heart and you give forgiveness. Some families are just broken. They're hurting. You say, can any help come my way? I want to tell you, help is here. And here's the dynamic. The church is there to help you overcome and heal and let God bless you and the people around you. You can't or shouldn't try to do it alone. You need people to help you. You need people to pray for you. You need people to bless you. And what Satan wants you to do is go hide in the closet and not see God's hand. Or you say, Lord, this is hurting me. I'm an introvert or whatever. And I need to be around people to help me and lift me to where God can heal me and I can forgive and get over this with God's help. Amen. The Bible teaches us that it's the blood that covers over our sin. You say, John, can God touch my brokenness? The answer is absolutely yes. You know the real problem in America? It's not black and white. You know what it is? It's the economy. It's those who have opportunity and those who don't. God has called Marlton Assembly of God to share with all people the gospel, to give hope to all people the grace and the mercy of Almighty God, and to bring healing. Would you stand with me in the Lord's presence? If you don't have a communion cup, you can kind of just note that the ushers are coming down the aisle. Just lift your hand, and we're taking communion together.